for human trafficking. And I really believe that where the Holy Spirit is where I want to be. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is peace, there is joy. But more than that, there's victory.
Amen.
Ha! There's victory. There's fulfillment. There's ruling and reigning over the enemies of God. There's prosperity. And so even I'm really privileged to have Jen and her husband fly down, because they are on the edge of what God wants to do about holiness and purity and binding up the brokenhearted and setting the captives free. Having the heart of Jesus. Doing what Jesus would do. What would Jesus do? They don't wear the bracelet. They live the lifestyle. And Jesus said, you know, those who do my will are those whom I love. And I will be with them and I will be in them. And I will witness for them. And the last time Jen was here, there was a powerful witness of God. Is that anybody was here? Woohoo! So without further ado, we won't hold back the Holy Spirit or inside of Jen any longer. So here she is.
I love this family. They're precious. Thank you for having us, and I love coming. Last time I was here, and I love the fellowship that and the communion that you guys have together, and you can just see the intimacy even in the eating, drinking coffee and eating donuts, and I got to say hello to some people that I remembered from last time, and I want to get right into the word this morning. I was pondering in my heart and just really asking Jesus, you know, what would you have me to say? And the first thing is I want to honor all the fathers in the room and just say happy Father's Day. And you guys are awesome, and I wish that my earthly father was serving Christ, but I'm believing for his salvation. And but I do have a father, a perfect father, and I want to talk about the reason that we have that father was because Jesus came. And so I want to talk a little bit about Jesus, and if you could turn with your Bibles open to Isaiah chapter number 53, we're going to begin there. Let's bow our hearts and pray. Holy Spirit, I come before you. I come before your word trembling this morning. I love you so much, Lord. I pray that Jesus would be manifest in this room. God, that you would anoint my lips, that you would touch the coal from your altar to my heart, God. That I would say nothing of my own accord, Lord, but only that I would echo what is in your character, your nature, what you went through. God, would you allow us to peer into your very heart this morning? I'm asking you, Lord, that you would do something deep on the inside of each and every person under the sound of my voice. I give you the glory and the praise, Lord. I'm your servant this morning, and I pray that you would use me according to your good pleasure in Jesus' name. 53, starting in verse 2. For he grew up before him a young plant, and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we would look at him. He had no beauty that we would desire him. He was despised and rejected by man. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and he has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb he was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before the shearers is silent, he didn't open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, he was stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit found in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Father to crush him, to put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. I want you to remember that line. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and now makes intercession for sinners. We're talking about Jesus. When Jesus stepped on the scene of the earth, he was led into the wilderness to be tried and tempted. And then he came out and stepped into his public ministry. And he understood that what his purpose and his mission was. First, he was rejected by his own household. He heals a man of unclean demons. He cleansed the lepers. He healed those who were paralyzed. He went to the sinners. He touched the withered hands to see them restored. He ministered to the multitudes. He taught the Beatitudes and the ways of his kingdom, teaching us to love our enemies. He raised the dead. He rebuked the fevers. He calmed the storms. He forgave a sinful woman of all of her adulteries. He gave dignity back to the prostitute. He declared himself as the way, the truth, and the life. He feeds the 5,000. He came not to be served, but to serve the least of the least. He called the ordinary to be extraordinary. He foretold of his death, and no one understood when he would speak those things. He cried out against the yokes of the religious leaders that would weigh his people down with their laws and traditions. And yet he taught his disciples how to pray. He wept with Mary over Lazarus, even though he raised Lazarus from the dead. He wept with Mary because he loved her, and that was his friend. He told the mysteries of heaven in parables and explained them to the children. He taught the cost of discipleship and what it was to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to follow after him. He cleansed the temple and he drove the hustlers out with a whip. He warned us about the hypocrisy of the religious and taught us how to not draw near with our lips, but to draw near with our heart. I want to look at the Garden of Gethsemane. Everybody has a Gethsemane in our lifetime. We all go through our own Gethsemanes. And I want to look at the one that Jesus went to, his Garden of Gethsemane, because his battle was won and lost on the cross in the garden. And I want to take a look at that. If you could turn with me to Matthew 26. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, in chapter 26, starting in verse 36. And then he went to a place called Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane means, in the Greek translation, oil press. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Those are the people that were close to him. Jesus had the multitude, he had the 12, then he had the 3, and then he had the Father. He sat the 8 disciples down, and he took the 3 closest that were closest to him and said, please come with me. He said, my soul, he began to open up his heart and share with him what was happening on the inside of him. And he said, my heart is very sorrowful, even unto death. But remain here. Will you remain here and watch with me? And going a little further, he fell on his face and he prayed and saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he came to the disciples and he found them asleep. And he said to Peter, could you not watch with me for an hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again for the second time. So he went back a second time and a third time, and each time he saw the disciples asleep. It was getting late. The disciples were ready to wrap themselves in their cloaks and get some sleep. But Jesus was filled with the apprehension of the events that were to soon unfold. He told the 8 to sit down when he called the 3 to himself and opened up his heart to him. In the darkest hour of Jesus' heart, he craved for human sympathy. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Jesus then withdrew. He fell on his face. He prayed, and in deep, loud, began to anguish in his soul. I'm sure the disciples probably heard him. They weren't that far away. I'm sure they heard him utter the words, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. For about an hour he lay prostrate, and in the meantime the disciples fell asleep, and Jesus reproached them, saying, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Jesus knew that the hour of his humiliation was upon him, and from that moment till he said on the cross, it is finished, nothing remained for him but torture of physical pain, mental and emotional anguish. All that the human frame could tolerate of suffering was about to be heaped upon his shrinking body. Every misery that cruel and crushing insult can afflict was about to weigh heavily upon his soul. And in this torment of body and agony of soul, even the high and radiant serenity of his divine spirit, he was about to suffer a short-term, terrible eclipse. Pain in its acutest sting and shame in its most overwhelming brutality. All of the burden of sin and the mystery of man's existence in all of its apostasy and the fall. This is what he must now face in all of this unimaginable accumulation. And he first had to brace his body and nerve his soul for what he was about to endure. And he calmed his spirit by prayer and solitude to meet that hour in which all that is evil and the power of evil and the just punishment for what was evil would be laid upon the innocent and the holy. And he had to face that hour all by himself. A grief beyond utterance, a struggle beyond endurance, and a horror of great darkness. Why? Why his agony and distress? Do you think that it was because of his fear of death that would cause a struggle like that? It was something that was infinitely much more than that. It was deadlier than death. It was the burden of the misery of the world, which laid heavy on his heart. It was the tasting in the divine humanity of a sinless life, the bitter cup which sin had poisoned. It was the endurance by the perfectly guiltless, the guilty for the guiltless. It was the worst malice which the human hatred could devise. It was to experience in the bosom of perfect innocent love all that was detestable, all that was pestilent in the human hypocrisy, all that was cruel in the human rage. It was to brave the last triumph, the satanic spite and fury, uniting against his lonely head all the flaming arrows of the Jewish falsity and the heathen corruption, the concentrated wrath of the rich and respectable, the yelling fury of the blind and the brutal mob. It was to feel that his own, to whom he came and died, loved darkness rather than the light. That the children of the chosen people would just be absorbed in one saying, just rejecting his goodness, rejecting the purity and the love. And after the third time of going back to prayer, he had fully surrendered to the Father's will. There was a great agony. It wasn't just a one-time laying down for an hour that he wrestled with the will of God for his life. Man, he was man like us, but yet he was God. But it wasn't in his deity. It was in his humanity that he was laid before the Father. And he's saying, if there is any way that I don't have to go through this, if there is any way that this cup could pass from me, but nevertheless, no matter what, not my will, but thy will be done. And a lot of times in our life, we get in situations in the own darkness of our soul, and we cry out, and we say, God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But it's only in your face, and it's only in going back to the place of prayer, the wrestling that you have to receive the will of God for your life, that you can accept his will sometimes, you know, and the grace that it takes to endure the cup that you have to drink. In this life, there are many trials and troubles. And I'm just grateful that I have an example to go back to when I'm in my soul's darkest hour, and that I can look at the Gethsemane, I can look at the garden, I can look at what Jesus went through, and it brings me comfort. Because sometimes, you know, things happen in life and we don't understand. It's just, we have people that are suffering next to us, cancer, sickness, and different things that afflict us. It's hard to understand. But Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And it was so countercultural, because even Peter, even his disciples, didn't understand his mindset. It was so opposite of the way the way Jesus was trying to teach them. They couldn't grasp. They couldn't understand it. Jesus came forth victoriously from that struggle. The battle of his soul was fought and won in the agony of prayer. When the disciples rubbed their eyes and they were waking up, they saw a company of soldiers approaching. And guess who was at the head of the line? None other than Judas Iscariot. As if it weren't enough that all of those things that came to bear on him in the garden, and he looked up, and here comes one of his disciples to betray him with a kiss. And yet, Jesus continued to go to the cross. And there are times where you don't understand, but it's in the times where we don't understand that we need to cling to what is the truth. You know, even when all hell comes against our life, when people betray, when they talk bad about you, when they slander your name, or those times, it's important that we remember what Christ went through. and how he overcame. Thank you, Jesus. You know, what a Savior he was. What a Savior he is. You know that he did that for you and he did that for me. And he did that for our example. And I just want to encourage you. I know that there are people in this room that are going through right now a Gethsemane of sorts. And you're in this place where you're struggling with not understanding why you haven't gotten your breakthrough. Why haven't you gotten your healing? Why hasn't my son come back to Christ? All of these things, and you're struggling. But the Lord wants to put endurance on the inside of you today to run the race. You see, it was the joy that was set before him. Remember what Isaiah, and it said in Isaiah, it said, in his agony, he saw and he was satisfied. Why? Because he saw you and he saw me and he saw his family. And he knew that he had to go all the way to the cross. I can't even get into the cross. But there was such a journey that he had to go through. And why did he do that? He did that so that you and I could be with him and be with the Father for all of eternity. I want to take this time and minister to anybody who is in a Gethsemane. And I'd like for the team to come up. Worship team, somebody on the keys, if that would be awesome. Thank you. Sandy, Jacob, please. Pastor Veronique, Pastor Jay. I want to minister grace to you today. I want Holy Spirit to come and just touch the deepest place of your heart. I want you to walk out of here feeling like no matter what comes against me, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to follow in his footsteps. He went all the way to the cross for you. He rose from the grave so that we could live in victory.
Go ahead, if you want prayer this morning, go ahead and make your way up. We're just going to want to lay hands on you. Just believe that God would impart strength and grace and power into you. Amen. We love you, Lord. Just close your eyes for a moment, everyone. Just close your eyes. And ask God, Holy Spirit, what do I need from you in my life right now? Show me what I need. Show me where there's any lack or where I'm weak. Show me what I need, Lord. Just let the Lord talk to you for a minute. And then when you've got it, the Lord says this is it or that's it, then I want you to come up and just let us know what the Lord said, and we're just going to believe with you and pray that the Lord's going to impart that into your life.
Jesus, oh. Father's love and destined to die and poured out for all mankind. And God's only Son, a perfect and spotless one. And He never sinned, but suffered as if He did. And all authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every victory is yours. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all our praise, You overcame. And Jesus, awesome and powerful, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome, yeah. And we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone. And Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is Your name, You overcame. Power in hand, speaking the Father's plan. Broken land, and power in hand, speaking the Father's plan, sending us out, light in this broken land, and all authority, every fear. Worthy of all our praise. is your name. You overcame, and we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. And we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone.
Let's stand. Just before we go and enjoy a meal, maybe with our earthly father, maybe not, but just sometime in as a family, I just want us to sing one last song to our heavenly Father who so loves us. So let's sing about his love. And thank you, Jen and Jacob. They have to catch a flight, so they're going to be...